There's room for everybody. There's room for all opinions. And, you know, let's just be kind.
Yeah, don't come for me because I'm a childless person and my children are my shoes and my bags.
Well, if you say that and then you do this.
What's wrong with doing this?
People are going to Princess Polly. People will come for you. Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Friends on Friends.
Yeah.
We're going to dive right in. What are we talking about today?
Before we dive in, we should talk about your bread. I just have to say, tell everybody that you're a baker now.
I'm not a baker.
You have to show everybody a picture of your bread.
Absolutely not.
I knew it tastes good.
Okay. It did, actually.
I knew it would. It looked very perfect. I could tell you that.
It did. I just have to figure out what's the best way to like store it. You know, when you buy bread in the supermarket or wherever, it's in a bag. You could put it in your bread bin if you have a bread bin. But for that, like, I had to use, what do you call it? Like the baking paper, kind of like make a makeshift paper bag.
See, this is why I don't bake, because that just sounds very difficult. I don't even know that. What's baking paper? Let's not talk about it.
Okay. Anyway.
Yes.
Let's dive in. What's on the topic for today?
So today we're going to talk about a topic that's very near and dear to Belzy, because she is one, and we're just coming off of Mother's Day. So we wanted to talk about being a mom, motherhood, and like lies that we're told about becoming a mom or motherhood or the whole thing. Now, if it hasn't been clear throughout the whole podcast, I am not a mom. I'm a mom to shoes and clothes and accessories. I love these earrings. I'm not a mom to an actual human. But Belzy has a really cutie bear human that she's mom to. And I'm his favorite person. I just want to tell everybody that. Thank you. Okay.
You know, some things that were said in that opening are debatable. But I'm going to leave it at that. Yes, I am a mommy to a 3.5-year-old. Well, how old is he now? He's 3 years and probably like 7-8 months.
Okay.
Wonderful baby boy. And, you know, I think my approach was sort of thinking about lies that were sold or told about motherhood and just kind of lining that up against my expectations and what is reality or what has been reality for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you want to start?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll start, but as a non-mommy, I would say for me, and this is something that I've not heard a lot of people voice in terms of motherhood, and it's something that I have struggled with for many years. And it's that I think that we're sold this lie that we're either like really sure about becoming a mom or we don't want to become a mom at all. And I think that I have teetered in the middle. Mm-hmm. My entire life. And I've just had just real uncertainties. I went through a phase very early on as a teenager, I would say, where I was like anti-mommy. Mm-hmm. And then I don't even know when it shifted for me from being, I don't want this ever. And I don't even know what triggered that. Mm-hmm. To, I think it's something that I'm open to, but I'm just not sure if it's for me. At all. I have lived in that sort of in the middle space, and sometimes it makes me feel uncomfortable, because you know, when you're having conversations with people about motherhood, they're always so certain about one side or the other, and I've always just been like, I don't know. I mean, I think babies are cute. I get along really well with them. But I'm just not, I don't know. And then there are people who have this school of thought that the reason that you're uncertain is because you haven't met the right person. And I'm not really sure if that's true either, because I'm sure that there are people that feel like they're in the relationship with the right person, but they probably
choose not
still,
to have.
Yeah, they're like, I'm not having kids with that person. So I don't know if that really stands up. But for me, I'm just unsure. And I haven't moved one way, moved the needle one way or the other. Because I don't know. And I don't know what will change my mind.
Or maybe your mind will never change. I think what I would hope society would move towards actually is just room for everybody's, you know what I mean? Like everybody's opinion and feelings toward being a parent.
Yeah.
oftentimes there's, I don't know, there seems to be this versus that for the conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're either, you know, moms are on one side.
Yeah.
And the conversation around being a mom is one thing. And then women who aren't moms by choice or
circumstance
are on another side. You know, the narrative is set one way in for that subset of people. And it always seems like there's no room for everyone's opinion towards the subject matter. I mean, we all come from mothers, right? And regardless of how you feel toward the topic, I think there should be room for everyone to share their opinions without sort of, I guess, trying to belittle belittle the other group, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I would love to see more of.
Do you think that, having been a mom now, do you think you've always wanted to be a mom, or is that something that you came to as you got older?
I don't know if I thought about it much in my younger years.
Yeah.
Once I started to, I was more focused on accomplishing the things that I wanted to accomplish just career-wise. That was more at the forefront of my mind. And then once I started to get maybe like late 20s, early 30s, I started to think about that a little bit more. And I don't necessarily know if it was something that I had always desired or if I was more influenced by societal expectations for womanhood. You know what I mean? And I say that because nobody could have ever prepared me for the level of responsibility that comes with being a mother. I don't think anyone I know ever who had experienced that for themselves were ever open to the point where I would truly grasp, oh dear, I would truly grasp like how huge of a responsibility it is. And I think also that the other part of that is when you say things like that, or you say how difficult it is, or how challenging it is being a mother, that is received negatively. But it's just the truth. You know what I mean? Like, it is surprisingly so for me, because like once I got pregnant and, you know, I like, there was no turning back. In my mind, I'm like, all right, I'm going to be out for 4 months on maternity leave and go back to work and blah, blah, blah. But you just honestly don't know how once the baby gets here, once the child gets here, like how that's going to affect you. You just honestly cannot prepare for that. You know, your hormones are doing bits and that's out of your control entirely, you know, and just every
that before baby. So I can't just imagine.
And then there's just like a million and one different things. And so I ended up staying out for 7 months and would have probably stayed out longer if I could have, because I needed that time to adjust. And in many ways, I think I'm still adjusting. I'm 3.5 years in and I'm still trying to figure out like how I move forward just in general in life. I love being a mom to my son. You know, and it's the privilege of my life being his mother. And I often, I think about this a lot. Somebody has said this to me, like at the end, when it's all said and done, and you're going to meet the maker, if you said to yourself, you have career and you have motherhood, you know, or just whatever, if you're not in the career, just like your life in general. Right. And, you know, if I fail at anything, when it's all said and done, I don't want being Jackson's mother to be the thing that I fail at. Do you know what I mean?
You're doing very well, so that's not going to be the case.
No, well, I'm just saying like these are the things that I am sort of grappling with now that I would not have anticipated for myself. I wouldn't anticipate that I would be thinking along those lines. I wouldn't anticipate that the juggle would be so difficult in maintaining a career that I've worked super hard for, but also being present. You know what I mean? And being a good, society is just not set up for you to do the two.
Yeah.
If you want to be present and you want to, you know what I mean? Like show up to all things and blah, 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 blah. Especially if your support system isn't what it ought to be.
I
hear
that.
The balancing act is
It's difficult.
Yeah.
And I've heard that from a lot of, I mean, famous moms, regular moms, every mom has said that. I think that even Shonda Rhimes, who is you know, very, very successful, says, you know, people think that she has it all together, but sometimes you have to think about when she's here in Shondaland, she's not somewhere else
where her kids
are. And that's the truth. Like, I think that society makes it very difficult for moms to balance, for sure. And I've heard about just how becoming a mom can also be a setback for people career-wise. Versus for a man, I think that they get the tap on the shoulder, like, hey, you a dad now. And, you know, they get and all the respect. And sometimes it can, I don't know, like equate for them to grow. And as a woman, you're either, you go back to work and it's just like, okay, everyone's like, I guess you're going to talk about your baby or, you know, like the expectations are just super different, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is beyond unfortunate. I mean, I'm not, if people don't ask me questions, I don't typically share. It's just personality.
Yeah.
But I don't know, for it doesn't matter how you slice it, just where we are right now as a society, being a man becoming a parent doesn't have the same impact on his career. Generally speaking, as it does for a woman becoming a parent. Sacrifices are different, man. And that's just where we are. One of the things that on my list about like the idea of motherhood that I feel like is a little bit of a fib, that it's the most fulfilling role. It's the most fulfilling role or fulfilling thing that a woman will ever do. And I think that that is an unfair statement.
Something. If you could read what I have written here, I have the same exact thing. I wrote that. That was the first thing I wrote down.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I wrote down.
And it kind of ties into the discussion we were having before, which is, you know, why I brought it up. Because as I said, you just don't know how, you don't know. I just don't think you know how it's going to affect you. So I think the statement in and of itself is unfair because the most fulfilling thing anybody could ever do is a personal choice. And it shouldn't, you know what I mean? So it doesn't, like, that's a personal choice for everybody across the board. Man, woman, XYZ. It's a personal choice. So, you know, you and you alone get to decide what you think is a fulfilling, what makes a fulfilling life for you. And it should be that way. And then, as I said before, we just should have tolerance for everyone's opinion.
I also think it does not create room or leave room for women who are incapable of having children. Being barren is a real thing, or infertility is a real thing, or women who have experienced an illness that causes them to no longer be fertile. Those are real things. Not because you're now not able to become a mom means that your world shuts down and you're less of a woman than somebody who isn't a mom. Or if you've chosen that, you know, not to be a mom is because for whatever reason, for some people, it's their own personal trauma, something that happened to them as a child or a relationship that they've had with their own mom. That's just like, it's not for me. And I think that you can be fulfilled and be an amazing person. And there are also different ways that you can nurture people in your life without being an actual mom. There are women who are incredible role models to other young ladies in their families or people in their community. And that's how they have chosen to show up. And that's a great thing. And to make them feel like, oh, well, you didn't have your baby. So, you know, you're not, what you're giving is not as good. I think that's like, that's a missed opportunity. And it's really just, it's just silly. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And which is why sometimes I wonder, you know, because so many people struggle with infertility who actually do want to, like, there are certain that they want to be mothers, but, you know, are unable to. I don't know if part of the reason why, at least in my opinion, I don't think that this is spoken about enough, just like the actual challenge of raising a decent human being who's going to be able to contribute positively to society, mm-hmm. right? And the challenge of navigating that on a day-to-day basis. In my opinion, I don't think people speak about that enough. And I don't know if part of the reason why is that, you know, you've probably feel some type of way to complain about something that other people might struggle in a certain type of way for.
Yeah. But I also think it's because of this idea that people think this is the most fulfilling thing for you. So something that's supposedly the most fulfilling thing and the best thing you can do as a woman, how dare you complain about it?
Yeah.
It's challenging regardless. Yeah.
As I said, it is the absolute privilege of my whole life being a mother to my child, but that statement doesn't take away from the fact that every day for me is a challenge, and the balancing act is no joke. But yeah, anyway, what's next on your list?
So for me, you know, I just think that there's also like an image of motherhood that I do not subscribe to at all. And it's kind of like this very, you know, pure, docile, innocent, demure, like you're a mom and moms dress a certain way and act a certain way. And they don't, you know, I remember I felt very triggered by that whole thing with Keke Palmer and her partner at uh-huh. the time, where when she went to the Usher concert, you know, the guy was like, "You're a mom, like what are you doing?" And it's just uh-huh. like, yes, she is a mom and she's a woman, and as a uh-huh. part of that, she has many different sides to her. She's, you know, multidimensional, uh-huh. and their moms don't just look a particular way or behave a particular way.
I agree. I have something similar, you know, tying in some way somehow back to the initial point that I made. I think that yeah, so society has this idea of what a mom should be and how you should, quote unquote, carry yourself, right? Mm-hmm. But I can't, from my experience, is you don't know left from right in like those first few months when hormones are trying to stabilize. And do you know what I mean? Especially if you're a first-time mother, you're trying to figure out, you're trying to learn this human being as the human being is trying to, you know what I mean? Understand you as well and get to know each other on Earth side. And I think people need to just give grace and understand that the person's going to need time to adjust, to figure out how you want to show up, but it's your choice, right? Mm-hmm. That's at the end of the day, that's the point I want to drive home, is that it's the individual's choice as to how they want to mother and how they want to show up as a mother. And if they want to, you know, wear frumpy, grumpy clothes, that's for them business. And if they want to be super sexy, that's also their business.
Hello.
It's the woman's choice in how she wants to show up and how she wants to, and what works for her, how she wants to be a mother and what works for her and what makes her feel good. You know, and sometimes that takes a while to figure out, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we should just give grace and be supportive if support is what the person needs.
Yeah. And I also think that this idea that once you become a mom, your children are your world and the parts of you that made you who you are should disappear. I see people on the internet, like there's a girl that I follow that I guess she's been traveling and people were commenting on her travel videos. She has 3 kids, you know, who's taking care of your kids? You're like traveling. And it's just like, I think she knows she has 3 kids. She knows very well. And she's a responsible individual. So she understands that she has somewhere to be and her kids are taken care of. She has the support, thank God for her. And so she could go about her business. And so there's no, your opinion about where she is or is not is really unnecessary.
Yeah. People like to do that a lot. Is like, I guess it comes with you know, when you share your life online, that you open the gates to people giving their opinions.
But I also think that happens in families.
It does.
Where people are like, oh, where's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
like
her, it does.
Her child is with a babysitter. And you're like, yeah, she paid. Look at me.
It does. It does. You know, even in my life. So I mentioned before about just having a proper support system and so on and so forth, which I think, you know, if you have that, if you have your village, that'll make a lot of difference in your experience.
Yeah.
But I think even, as you said, even within families, so, you know, if on the very few times when my son is elsewhere, just to give myself like a breather, I have an aunt, she's probably going to see this. Yeah. And she says, like, should I say something like, every time you ship him off, gone somewhere. And I'm like, that's like not even
that's true. Not true.
That is not true. But it's just this idea of, well, you should be tied down to the child 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess if you're not, if
are you less of a mom because you live your life, or for moms who decide to, you know, get
give themselves a break,
or an au pair? It's just like, listen,
But also, I think what's interesting, or what I found interesting, was that it's the woman who my grandma gave birth to. they all had each other. Right. So when they had kids, they were all
right. They're a supportive for each other. Yep.
Yeah.
As a kid, I went to stay with my aunt during the day.
And my grandma helped raise like some of the grandkids. So it was like it was interesting. Even though she was most likely joking, to hear that remark, because I'm like, what? Yeah. When y'all had your funic pitna them. When they did have support, like, you know, 24/7 support. And it's my setup is a little bit different. So, yeah.
But also, if you want to go about your business, you want to go about your business.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you less of a mom if you want to go about your business. At the end of the day, you're coming back home to your child. And if that's not today or tomorrow, if it's next week.
Next week, like, then your
child, it's your business. Like, that's your child and how you want to parent them. And it's your business. At the end of the day, it's nobody else's business how you do that.
I don't know if it's all cultural or whatever, but there is sort of this idea. Sometimes people have that you need to be tethered to your child 24/7 or else you're not doing it. Yeah.
Like, you're trying to teach them to be a surviving human being. And therefore, at one point in their life, they're going to have to grow up and be without you. And therefore, they will need to start to learn that early. I'm sorry.
That is, in fact, a reality. Speaking of like village, I don't necessarily think this is... I don't know if society sells you this sort of idea or if it's something I just kind of thought would occur organically, but like your village isn't always necessarily going to be your family or the closest people to you.
Yes. Yes.
That's a hard lesson to learn. Super tough pill to swallow. Well, for me personally, because I had this idea that, you know, I'm from a big family and I had an idea that my kid would get to sort of grow up amongst them the way I did.
Right.
Which has shaped a lot of my life and a lot of my outlook on things. And I thought, or I would have wanted him to have a similar experience, but circumstances on life and how things turn out, that's not where we are right now. And so I've had to curate a village elsewhere. And yeah, you know, we're still learning and figuring out how to navigate. But yeah, it's tough. Sometimes you have to kind of realize that maybe things unfold for the way that they do for a reason. Perhaps the dynamic that existed when I was younger, and that closeness and that bond maybe doesn't exist anymore for whatever reason. You know, people grow up, they grow apart, you process things differently, you see the world differently. And I don't know, maybe not a long run, it was just, you know, not something that my son needed to be around. Who knows? But at the end of the day, I've had to find my village elsewhere from where I thought it would be.
Yeah.
What's on the line?
I mean, again, and I get it. The non-mommy in the conversation, so don't come for me. You know, I've always had sort of like apprehension about the village with your family a little bit. And the reason I say that is because I have made observations, especially in my family, that when the younger generation started to have children, that the older generation, they seem very like nitpicky. I remember my aunt used to make fun of my cousin, call her baby the book baby, because
she was reading a book about,
and she did
by the book, right? Yeah.
So when she went to the pediatrician, and the pediatrician said, your baby does not need to be given water right now because they're getting water and nutrients and blah 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 from breast milk or whatever it is you're getting, like they don't need water. And like my aunt disagreed with that wholeheartedly. She was just like, oh, this book baby, everything. And then when the child got to the phase of having drinks, and my cousin was like, I do not want my child to start having sweet drinks. So if it's not something that I make at home, she's having water. And so she had water for the longest time. Like she had never had like, you know, fruit punch or anything like that. And so when she would go to, when my cousin bring her to visit my aunt, and she offers her juice, and my cousin would be like, no, she does not have juice. She has water. And everyone's like, excuse me.
Problem.
Book baby.
Yeah.
Book baby only has water. Book baby hasn't tried this. And oh, she doesn't eat this. And it's just like, listen, people should be free to bring up their child however they want. And I have been apprehensive. Again, I don't have children, but I thought about it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to tell you how I want to have my baby. If I tell you my baby only eats these things, I'm going to need you to respect that. And if you are not going to be able to do that, then I'm sorry. They're not coming over to visit you, because I cannot trust that you're going to abide by the rules that I have laid out. And sometimes, especially, you know, and maybe this is culturally with people from the Caribbean, they like to be like, oh, the baby needs porridge and blah, blah, blah. Porridge is a great thing. It's delicious, whatever. But sometimes there are certain things your baby is allergic to things. I remember my dad said to me, what, allergic to things? He was like, when I was young, I couldn't eat eggs, and it would make me sick, and my mom kept giving them to me every day until I could eat eggs. And I was like, yeah, that don't work, because she's lucky you didn't have some sort of anaphylactic
reaction
to the eggs. You don't, like, that's crazy. I'm allergic to shellfish, and let's not test that. Like, we've already seen what happens, and we're just not gonna do it. And I feel like, even for me, and again, I'm a grown up. And I said that to my mom at first. She was looking at me like, until like she starts seeing, like, try the, you did, it's because you had a shrimp in America. Try this shrimp now. And it's just like, okay. And then when I like, this is the 10th time I've thrown up now. And it's just like, oh dear, this don't eat anymore. And I'm like, okay, yeah.
My opinion on that whole, like, Caribbean people, because I can only speak to them. That's where my experience has been. My personal opinion about that approach, where you're trying to raise your child up in one way, and because it differs from what they did, it becomes an issue. And sometimes I wonder if people don't use the opportunity, like when them see I do your thing, and you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that triggers something in them, and then they use that opportunity. Then they use that opportunity to try and criticize what it is that you're doing, rather than be supportive of what you're trying to do. You know what I mean? Because there's no room in a freedom mind. There's no room. They don't exist in a world where it is possible that you can do something different from what they did.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you are, and you're seemingly succeeding at it, then they're triggered by that. And let me take this opportunity to criticize you instead of being supportive of what you're trying to do. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm telling you,
yeah. Yeah, that's my thought process on that.
Yeah, so I love a village and I love a family being in your village. Don't get me wrong. But I do think that sometimes it can be the family village can be very difficult because their opinions, it's like this. I'm already receiving opinions from the outside world where if you do something in public and people feel like that's not in alignment with how they believe a mom should appear or how you should parent, they have something to say and they are not mincing words. To also receive that energy from your family, I cannot.
Yeah. And I give you like, you know, I'm not really to want to bring people like in at a thing, but like a personal example, when I was trying to sleep train my son and, you know, my living setup was different. And so there was pressure from, and I say pressure because it just felt like pressure from even my son's pediatrician. It's like, yo, you know, he needs to be sleep trained. Blah, 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 blase, blase. But growing up how I did, there's no such thing because you don't have your own room and your own personal space.
Right.
To, you know what I mean? You like, you sometimes you have to bounce it with somebody and then until like circumstances change. So there was that concept of getting the child comfortable sleeping by themselves just did not exist.
Right.
In how I grew up, or the people that grew up with me, or who were responsible for raising me as well.
Yeah.
And so fast forward now to, you know, life is different now. We have the space. My son can have his own personal space. He was still in the crib at the time. But it's not even what was suggested. It's, I guess, the manner in which the suggestion was made about like my approach to trying to sleep train him, because
condescending.
Yeah.
That's what I felt.
You don't agree, or not, it's not even condescending. It felt more like I was being told I was doing something wrong, or I was punishing or torturing him. That's what it felt like. And then you have outside pressure for say like, yeah, it must be, he must be like, you know, this is a thing to do, is to get him sleep trained. And then, you know, within the household, you have a different type of pressure, to the point where I, honest to God, when I started feeling anxiousness and feeling uncomfortable when it was winding down to like bedtime. Mm. And until I said to myself, this is not supposed to feel like this. This is not supposed to be this burdensome, or, you know, just like, I shouldn't feel this way. And so if this setup isn't working for us, I will tackle this a different way. And eventually, you know, like circumstances changed, the living situation changed, I moved, all this other stuff, you know, now he's fine. It took about a week for him to get comfortable in a room by himself.
Yeah.
And once I figured out what he doesn't want is to feel like he is unable to move around. And when he's in the crib, that's what he feels like. So I switched. I got like a Montessori type bed, and he's able to be in and out and move about his room freely. And, you know, we're good. All right. So what's next on your list?
Okay, let me see. Now, this one is, I always talk about it to you, but I don't talk about it to other people. I just think that there is a lie, a trick, a mind fuck, whatever it is, about labor and delivery. I'm sorry. Nobody talks about the fact that labor, like they're like, oh yeah, it's painful, whatever. It's more than painful. I feel like as a process, you see it on TV and it's like, oh, and the baby, like for people, it could go on for days. From women who have been real with me, they have also expressed that sometimes there can be an odor in the room because of the bodily fluids.
I never experienced that.
And then I've also heard that obviously because pushing and going poo are related,
that can happen.
That, baby, you think you're pushing out a baby, but it's really a poo.
That can happen.
Cannot.
So you think basically your idea of it is that it's gross?
Well, I think that's the real thing, and I think that the lie is that people make it seem like it's not that.
Like it's a it's giving birth is
it's not that traumatic. And I think it can be traumatic. In fact, there's one girl that I'm friends with from college who she had her first child a couple years ago. And she said she's one and done because labor and delivery was traumatic for her. And she was the first person that I've ever heard that actually said that. Okay. Everybody else says you see your baby and it all goes away. And I'm just like, I don't think it does.
So I think sometimes in the movies, it might be portrayed a certain way. And that might give you like a false sense of what can take place. Not to say that it doesn't happen that way for some people. However,
yeah,
maybe because I'm in the medical space then. I don't know. But
don't you think that, I guess how people talk about labor and delivery and they focus on the child. And I understand like, yes, the baby is the prize or whatever. But they do not talk about just how scary it can be for some people. Like there are women who have, you know, like a medical scare during labor and delivery.
And I'm saying I've not gotten that from them. Like that's not really been hidden from me from actual real life persons that I know. But even my own mother in giving me the story of my own birth, gave me the nooks and crannies of it all. So that part, I don't find that in my real life conversations.
Really?
No, I don't.
I think a lot of people that I've spoken to, they kind of just like gloss over it. Like, yes, yeah. it's painful, but like you do what you have to do to have your baby. And it's just like, okay, I understand that, but it can be. And like I said, that girl was the first person that was like, it's traumatic. Like, I don't think I could do that ever again. That was crazy.
Yeah, no, I don't find that.
And then people say, well, you're also going to forget. Like, that's why you have like more children. You forget about it. The other thing is, and again, maybe I'm just like superficial. The thought of being somewhere mm-hmm. and like you gotta like open your legs and everyone's like, we gotta go up there. Like, we need to know how dilated you are. I'm like, and you have to sit there with your legs
open. You don't have to sit there with your legs open the entire time you're in
during delivery.
Yes, you do, but you're not focused on like, oh, I'm a she, I don't want nobody see me, blah blah blah. You're not focused on that. You know, you're focused on getting the baby out and safely.
But from someone who's not been there, like all those things are like going through my mind. Like
you have the luxury of thinking that way because you haven't experienced it and, you know, and you've been. So, yeah.
It's not vanity. Like, I'm sorry. If you said to me like okay, girl, open your legs. Right. Sorry? No. Like,
why did you not want me your legs when you were making the baby? So, you know.
But that was for one person. Hello?
How many people do you think are in the room?
Well, at least a doctor and a nurse, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got...
So when you go to the gynecologist, and if it's a man gynecologist you have, isn't it him and a female that's in there? It's got to be two people because he's not allowed to do the exam by himself.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And I can tell you the last time that I went, my blood pressure, what did he was like, ma'am, are you okay? It was like something ridiculous, like something over 200. And he was like, why are you... Before he started the process, he was like, we're going to give you some water and give you some time to cool down. I'm not going to hurt you. Like, why are you so overwhelmed right now?
So you spoke about the lie of what labor and delivery actually is. So I don't know if this is necessarily something that society feeds us or if this is something I thought was going to happen that did not occur naturally or organically, was that I would become more patient. I think most people who know me know that I'm not the most patient person. And so I thought that once the child got here, that it was something that would just come naturally. Like it's a person you gave birth to, it's somebody you love, it's a little tiny person. Yeah. And so, you know, of course, you're just going to have all the patience in the world. And it's quite the opposite. I'm less patient now, I think, than I was before. and I was a fourth, we were going in the opposite direction. I just know I'm not like...
Poor baby.
Not necessarily with him, you know, even though, yeah, like sometimes I get it. So, but I think because I now have this added responsibility and right. like time is, yeah.
By nature.
Time, like, you know, I have less and less time for any and everything. Mm-hmm. I just don't have the bandwidth to deal with fuckery. Like, you know?
My patience was never in check to begin with. I would never fool myself into thinking that. I would think I would definitely become less patient.
I never thought that. And I even said it to somebody, like, 6 months in. I was like, you know, I thought I would have more patience. Like, that would come naturally, but it didn't. Like, yeah, because, you know, time is such a precious commodity and there's not enough hours in a day, and so, like, nonsense, you just, you know, there's no room for it.
Hello, I don't have time just right now
across the board. I think there are other factors that contribute to that as well, just as I you know, being on this journey essentially on my own. And so that makes it just a little bit more challenging, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. That brings me to my next one, which is that I think that people have a perception of how, I don't know, like how you should become a mom and that you should be married and it should be like that traditional route. Uh-huh. And so there's less tolerance for, there are single moms, obviously, and moms who are single due to a situation going awry. But there are also moms who actually choose or chose to be single moms. And there are people who are like, why would you choose to be a single mom? And it's just like, well, there are some people that they want to have a child and they are not in a relationship and they are confident in their ability to do what they got to do. And so... But when you don't look like what people think that, you know, the mommy you should look like, I think that they are very judgmental.
Oh, yeah.
And there isn't a one size fits
all
mom.
I would agree with that. That's also on my list. I think also living in the environment that I do now. So this is a very family oriented tone. Mm-hmm. And being a single parent, you feel like some sort of pariah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
because that's just not what you see. And I think even in how like my interactions with my son's school, you know, and I feel like you are treated differently when, that's my perception at least, when you're a single parent versus when,
I can agree with that.
Yeah, when you're from when there's both parents involved. And I also think subsequently that might trickle down to the child as well, right? So people have this perception of you, one, because I'm a Black, you know, and also, and a single mother. So they have all these preconceived notions and already start make peer judgment, you know, and so, you know, we all have biases that comes out. However, it comes out in the interaction between you and the leadership at the school, not really where he's currently at now, but when we first moved here, that was the experience at the first daycare. Mm-hmm. And I think that's trickled down to him somewhat. It just went all the way left. And I had to gather some people together. And then ultimately, I of course, pull him from the school.
Which I think is so ridiculous because there are people who are in a traditional nuclear family setting. Mm-hmm. And the father is there in... physically, yeah. But not there at all. Mm-hmm. They're not helpful. They don't even know anything about their kids.
But you have to understand with society, I think what drives a lot of people, especially, you know, up this side, where there's not people that look like me, it's all about, like, it's perception, right? And so everybody just cares about what things look like to people on the outside. Yeah. Even if you're miserable and your marriage is shit or whatever the case might be. As long as you are looking the part, I think that that's what matters to a lot of people. I think, you know, which I've often expressed to you, my biggest struggle with doing this by myself is just I feel like I'm always in survival mode. And it's not necessarily, it's part of it is not having a village or having the support that I would like. But part of it is also trying to sort out what the next phase of my career is going to look like as a mother. So I don't mind being a single mom, because I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. My challenge with doing it on my own, as I said, is that is being in survival mode. And that does not allow me to parent the way that I would like to parent. But once I'm actively working to sort things out where I am not functioning in survival mode anymore.
Right.
And I would rather do things by myself than do it surrounded by people that make it harder for me.
100%.
So I don't want the village, or I don't want the partner for the sake of just saying I have those things,
mm-hmm.
when in fact those things are making my life
more
miserable. That's the take home point.
I agree 100%.
It'll be a lot of times, you know, like when the pressure gets to me and I am, you know, having a moment, at least, you know what I think to myself? At least my home is like stress-free. You know what I mean? Nobody in a day for cosmic peer problem.
But yeah, I would love to hear from the audience. What are some misconceptions or lies you felt like you've been fed about motherhood? Or maybe everybody is just like, no, I was born to be a mom. I got it. I'm still not there yet. I'm still unsure. I'm unsure, girl. Right here.
What I would encourage everyone to just be open to is that everyone's entitled to feel how they feel about a certain topic. Everyone's entitled to their own experiences,
mm-hmm.
their own perceptions, and we should make room for all of it. You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And,
yes.
you know, just because someone has a different view from you,
we could all still be friends.
Okay. Yeah, you know, one's not better than the other.
Yep.
There's room for everybody. There's room for all opinions. And, you know, let's just be kind.
Yeah, don't come for me because I'm a childless person and my children are my shoes and my bags.
Well, if you say that and then you do this.
What's wrong with doing this?
People are going to Princess Polly. People will come for you. Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode with us. Please share your thoughts.
Yeah, and agree with me.
Okay. I'm kidding. We were doing so good.